We'll call this meeting to order if we could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if we don't have any changes to the agenda or additions, I would consider a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. I now need a motion to request or to approve the meetings from the prior meetings, which includes our budget hearing. It's been moved by Commissioner Vickery.
Second.
Any question, comments? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll move on to Road and Bridge. Billy, if you and your group would like to come forward and shed some sunshine on our day.
I'll try. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys got my daily activities. Everything's just kind of going as planned. If you guys have any questions.
They're all there.
And someone left them on, didn't they?
Yeah.
What about those two?
Go ahead, Billy.
Is there any questions on
that? I don't have any, Billy.
And I did find out, Doug, on doing the cattle guards, if I used the square tubing, it's kind of a wash. So I'm going to start specking those guards.
As far as the cost differential?
Yeah, I actually can jump. That's what the state uses. And so I can, it actually is a wash. I mean, it's like 10 cents the difference. So I'll just start specking out those guards.
Thanks for looking into that. I know that those who have livestock will appreciate the fact that if something gets in it, they have a chance to get back out.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's get home.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So other than that.
Yeah, I just got project updates. Metal Arc started paving yesterday. And might get the main line done this week. We'll see how. There's supposed to be a little rain Thursday, but we're right on schedule for, they may be completely done by the 15th. If not, they'll just be cleaning up and doing some other stuff. So I think people are going to be pretty excited here pretty soon.
Well, good. I'm excited.
I think it's going to turn out pretty nice.
I did talk with Kevin with the school, and they really appreciate it. And they were very happy that this got done. So
just in time, huh?
Yeah.
Yep, we're getting close. And chip seal, they might be finished today with the chipping. Then they just got to fog it and paint everything. So.
And I've been checking on that, and it's going good. The chips are sticking good and everything, so no issues there.
And then we're starting on the Paradise Erosion Project. They're working on agreements with Swift and the Game and Fish for access along the bottom there. So once they get those agreements in play, and it's just on reclamation and all that, just to make sure. Then he's going to send that out for proposals and then have a first completion date is kind of what we're looking for.
Okay.
Mr. Turner, a question on that one. Mm-hmm. You're talking about that washout when you turn off the highway before you get to the bridge.
Yeah.
What is the fix for that? I mean, that's straight
off. They're going to put a little curb in along the asphalt to collect that water because a lot of it's that water's hitting there and it's just washing
down and washing down the hill.
So they're going to do that and then divert it towards the bottom and then they're going to fill that wash in and put some big rocks.
Just put some rocks in it
and try and stabilize
something
it
that won't just roll down.
We're going to try and get the water off of it to fix it and then get it back to where it's halfway stable and won't wash the road away.
Actually, the worst part's up, closer to the cattle guard, it's really now there's a bad wash there. So that, it's kind of a
Yep, so we're just gonna, the water's causing all the problems, so we're just, they're putting a curb and gutter in, and we'll just collect it all that way. Find a discharge into the river and it won't cut away, hopefully.
And when do you think you're gonna get started on this?
We'll put it out to bid this fall, so I think they probably wouldn't start till April, probably. Mm-hmm. You wanna get in before the water came up.
Right.
The lower stuff. Working off the edge of the road, they can do that into May, I think.
They're gonna have to come in on swifts across the bridge that way.
Yep, so we're gonna shoot for May 1st, maybe May 15th before we're finished, but next spring for sure.
Okay.
And then Cottonwood Ryegrass, we're getting the initial design done and the survey. There's gonna be some wetlands we gotta worry about on all those crossings. So we'll get those delineated and we'll talk to the Corps and make sure we can stay under the nationwide permits. So there will be some mitigation.
Don't you have some mitigation wetlands that are already in the stock?
You did a lot of that on the wetlands on Cottonwood. The stuff that we had 5 years or whatever.
Yeah, we have the report. We just never had the delineation for the actual wetlands.
I thought you had some delineation wetlands you already done that were in the bank.
We'd have to totally start over.
Yeah.
If we didn't start within 5 years.
Yep.
I think that's where it was.
Yep. That's what I found out. So we're going to talk with the Corps and just get them on board, and then we'll hopefully get this at least out to bid this fall or this winter, and then give them next season to start construction on it. But get the wetlands lined out first and get our design finalized, and then we can come back with some solid numbers on what the expected budget to be and how we want to proceed from there.
So that project won't really start till next year.
Most likely, just because they're getting all these core permits and everything in order might take a couple months.
Next budget year.
Well, we might be able to let it.
It'll let before.
We can
but
probably bid it
over.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Yep.
That tends to be the case on everything.
Yeah.
Yep. I've seen. I imagine we'll probably bid it in April so it can start in May. But
and what was that?
Earlier.
2.4 million?
Yeah.
I think something like that.
We did it in like two phases, so it was like 2.4.
Yep. I think that's
and
right.
It was half and half.
Okay.
So that's the big ones. And then South Lysimeter for landfill, we got DEQ approval. So we're going to send those out proposals today. And we're going to we'll open it that first weekend or that first meeting in September. So.
Do you ever hear back from them with regards to the stacking?
Next year.
Just got to keep asking.
Yep, yeah, we'll keep at it. We'll. Send the annual report in this week, and
he's supposed to come out this fall. He was supposed to come in June, and then so, yeah.
That's all I got.
Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Okay, awesome.
That's all we got.
Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Do we have a discussion on that Project A? Do we have a discussion on that thing with the Forest Service?
Oh,
Billy?
Okay.
Billy?
Yep, I never sent those jail files. So
what's that?
Do we have a question is you an update on what we're doing with the Forest Service with that Project A?
Gaming fish, unfortunately.
Oh, the
Schedule A?
Schedule A.
Yeah, with the lake.
A Monument Ridge and all that.
Yeah.
We got the. They sent the.
Yeah.
The.
I gave them a copy. Of the
oh, okay. They sent that agreement and all that. I was just. I mean, there's no way I can get started on that, but they were good with that. I mean, I talked to Don and stuff, but I, you know, we can. I hopefully get to it, some of it maybe this fall, but I was planning on doing it next, you know, as soon as it dries out. I told him I wanted to go kind of look at it because, you know, when we went and assessed it, it was before the fire and all that, but I, you know, them draws are going to be what they are. So I don't think we'll have that much issue with it. So.
Did you want to talk to him about, are you going to do the work or did they want to put it out for bid or?
And it's totally up to you guys.
Well, we had talked about that. I think the thought is the intent of the Schedule A is to try to do that in the most economical way possible. And my thought is with that the county's involvement being that we would do, we would go ahead and do the work.
Yeah.
Rather than put it out to bid. And if you guys have any differences of opinion.
Which, whichever way would be cheaper. If you've got the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're finally starting to get kind of caught up. I'll have all the little projects. Like I got that Jack Creek drainage I got to do, and then some little stuff, but I'll have that done here in the next month or so. So it just depends on fall. I might be able to get a lot of the pipes and stuff in late this fall, but if not, we have a whole another year before they want it, you know, before the permits, so I can get it done by that time.
Then we talked about making a separate line item to keep all the expenses separate.
Right.
Well, yeah, we'll have to keep itemized stuff on that project so we can get reimbursed.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'm with Joel on that. I think the major thing is if you can handle it.
Yeah.
You know, when that time comes, yeah. you can't keep, oh, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
You
no,
need
no.
to say, okay, guys,
yeah,
I
no,
can't
I
do
would.
This.
I would.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's their roads are way different than, like, if we're building our roads,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're talking, you know, most of it's a one-lane road, and the way they want the ditching, and that's way different. It's not that big a deal. And really all we're doing is fixing the washes and in the swamp areas, putting a little fabric down and covering it and stuff. It's not really that.
It's not like building a county road.
Exactly.
By any means.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, so question, the least expensive, how do we know what the least expensive is if, in fact, you don't put something out to bid, I guess is my question.
Based on past experience, I would say. I mean, I'm not the expert in that area, but just the times that I've been associated with it, that you add the mobilization fee to a project like that, and that automatically adds a considerable amount towards the project.
Kind of like the turning lanes that we've done. You know, we did the one out at the shop, and we did the one over in by the shop in Piney there. Just when we did a comparison back then, and we were always over $100,000 cheaper doing it in-house. So, you know, because we don't charge, charge the mow fee and all that stuff. So it was, I don't know, it's just cheaper in-house. I mean, that was the only thing I can compare, that we did compare on the turning lanes.
Are you know,
I'm sorry. I guess my question is, if it's just putting a matter of putting in culverts, basically, is that not correct?
Yeah, and then just there's some lot of drainage, just and then there's some swamp areas, you know, and some of the gonna have to put in some rock to keep the, you know, from washing and stuff like that. They want the road kind of fixed, and it's just a two track right now, so they do want it like a one lane, you know, 12 to 16 foot wide road, and so it's just basically blading it, putting some drainage in, and then you got some really bad spots that we got to put some pipes in and keep it from erosion so bad. So we're gonna put in some rock and stuff. But you'll go 2 miles and it's really not much of anything, and then you got a little project, you know, some pipes to put in. It's not that big of a deal, you know. It's like, you know, not even, it's like 2.8 miles. Of stuff that needs done. So, but I mean, we can do whatever you guys, whatever.
The theory behind the Schedule A money is for the Forest Service to give us the money and us contract it out, in my mind. Isn't that correct?
I don't know. Joel?
Because for us to contract it out is cheaper than for them to contract it out. Now we've went one step further and we're letting Billy do the work, which is in direct competition with the local and other contractors that could be bidding this work. And the money's in the pot. For example, Burnt Lake, we let Billy do that because there was no money available. There was no pot of money, period, this one, Don, put the money in there so it could go to bid. So in my mind, I went along with Burnt Lake because that one, if we didn't let Billy do it, it wouldn't get done, period. Right. This one, there's money there. It's meant to be put out to bid.
Does he have enough money to come if the bid comes in high? I mean, does it, if that bid has a, I mean, his Schedule A money is finite. I mean, it's, if it comes in with that portion of the work two or three times what you expect, is that going to affect the project?
Just, he'd have to just priority what was the worst on that road. Then.
Mr. Chairman, listen to what Doug said, listen to what Tom said. Maybe we've kind of decided what we're doing here, whether it be the road towards Meadow Lake and the Schedule A money that's going up towards Monument Ridge, the next project, whatever that is, we need to bid it.
Well, I understand what Tom was saying. The deal with Meadow Lake and Burnt Lake was different because that project wasn't going to get done because they didn't have the money for it. The only way it was going to get done is if we came in and provided mm-hmm. work, so it's a little bit different. It's, to me, it's much more similar to maybe Trapper's Point than
Fremont Lake. Yeah. The money's there. That's what its intent was for, is to get bid out and contracted. And I don't think that the county should be in direct competition with the local or out of town contractors. It should go out to bid.
Well, what about the thought of you put it out to bid, and then we can determine that we can do it for a third that price. We don't want to say what we can do it for because obviously that may affect the bid process. Is that something we do and then look at the bids with regards to that? I mean,
I don't know.
It's the taxpayers' money we're saving, and it's the taxpayers' money we're spending. Which, if it's in there, if
you want to go a little deeper than that, the taxpayers are the contractors. They're employing the local families, the people that work here that pay the taxes. So if they don't have any work, then we're not supporting that avenue either. I mean, if they're not supporting the taxpayers.
Well, I understand that. But I mean, you could apply that argument to
whoever has it. I'm fully aware of that.
Mr. Chairman, I can see both sides of this, and I think the ultimate responsibility on our side is to get the project done within, if we can, within the amount of the money that's been allocated to do it. And when they put the money together to do that, they were looking at the total project. I don't object to putting it out to bid. If the bid comes in and they can do everything we're supposed to do within that bid amount.
And I agree with that.
But if it comes in so high that, well, we can only do a third of it this year, then we need to take a look and say, well, you know, in the interest of all the taxpayers, not just the contractors, and also considering the fact of the millions and millions of dollars that we do put out to bid that provides jobs, like the all the stuff we're doing when we do contract, all the major projects, provides multiple jobs for local people. But for these little jobs like this, just fixing up this road, to spend three times as much doing it of tax money compared to what we could do it for, doesn't make sense. If we can get to it and do it. But if Billy thinks we can put it out to bid and get it done within the amount of dollars allocated and do the whole project, I'm okay with that. But if the bid comes back and it's like three times what it should cost, which is probably what will happen on a little job different than a big one because the mold fee is just as high, whether it's a little job mm-hmm. or a big job. So chances are it's going to come back so high that Billy's going to come back to us and say, hey, we can do it for about a third of what it would cost to bid it out.
It goes back to Commissioner Vickery's original question, and that is, how do we know? I guess this is one way we would know.
I think that is correct, and that's what I was going to, you know, have no issue with. If it's exorbitant, take care of the project and go about it. But if it's within the confines of, yeah, that's close enough, then we come right back to what Tom's discussion was all about, and that is local.
Sure.
Or maybe not local, but at least it would be within private the review of, yeah.
So just one last question then, Billy, is there a good enough explanation of what we need to do on that craft a bid?
Yeah.
So whoever bids knows what they're gonna the expectation is.
Yeah, it's pretty good the way Don wrote all that up and that, and
okay,
me and him sat down and did the work that is scoped and all that. So yeah, if you could put it out for bid.
Well, let's put it out, see what we get.
I think
we
so.
can compare.
Make that decision, we'll know the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Fair enough.
We'll get it done.
Okay.
So I guess on that same note, that means you're gonna have to sit down and put your pencil to it and come up with a solid number also.
Right.
And
which comes out of your time. I'll have to go run it again to make sure. You know, I haven't seen it since before the fire and stuff, so we'll go see. But yeah, I'll do that also.
Sounds like a plan.
All righty.
Thanks, Billy.
A little bit ahead of time. Darren, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. Darren Hall. Matt Grohauser. Sorry, I
Joe
didn't
Bowes
get
you. Right. Glad to meet you.
David Burnett. Darren.
Good to meet you.
How are you?
Good. How are
good.
You, Commissioners?
How are you guys?
I'm just hanging out with Darren today, so trying to help him out. We wanted, as a board, we wanted to introduce Darren to you guys. That's the main reason we're here. We won't take much of your time. And thank you for the funding for the Visitor Center. I know that was a lot of work. I don't envy your guys' positions as commissioners, and thanks for your service to the community. A lot of tough decisions, I'm sure.
We had a good discussion.
I can let you guys pick Darren's brain in just a second, but before we get to that, there was some clarification on the budget proposal that we presented to you guys. I'm sure this looks familiar. Through the rumor mill, something came back to us that you guys didn't want us to swap out the board on the Visitor Center. There's enough boards in town. We don't care one way or the other, but we just want to do what you guys want us to do. It's your facility and it's your service to the community. So if you want to swap out the board on the Visitor Center with the representatives from the different communities, we'll move forward on that. If you don't, we're fine either way. But the comments that were coming back to us were supposedly from you guys. We didn't want to do anything contrary to your opinions. So.
I'm not following you.
I think
I
you
remember.
Hit the nail on the head when yeah. you said rumor.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We didn't have
yeah.
discussion on that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you guys said that.
I think this all started a year ago. We wanted to make sure our money was going towards the Visitor Center, not the Chamber.
Yeah,
I think you guys have diligently worked on separating those two budgets.
But we never expressed an opinion one way or another with regards to what you do with your board or swapping it out or whatever.
As long as we know the two pots of money aren't getting spent, intermingled, continue forward. However you want.
We got Darren.
That was easy.
Do you want to pick his brain on anything?
No, unless he wants to share his brain with us.
I don't have a lot to say. I sent an email the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on it, and I didn't know, I guess I'm still looking for people in Big Piney, and I did talk to the museum about the idea of having a pop-up visitor center down there in the summer, and it's a work training program, so whatever elder might be interested in doing that, it felt like it was about four deep in wins, right? Like we get extra visitor center, we get, we help an elder out in the community, we help the business community, because ultimately they go in and they help them find a job in town with their new skills. And we get free labor, and ideally they'll be able to help the museum a little bit while there's not visitors there. So it seemed like a no-brainer to me, but I haven't found anybody yet. So.
And I did talk to Joan Mitchell about that, because she would be the not necessarily the contact person, but the one in the know mm-hmm. who might be interested and available. So I did touch base okay. with her about your email.
Okay, so that's out there, still working on it, still looking at it, and I'm hoping to utilize that same program in Pinedale to staff the visitor center a little bit too, so that way we can maximize our dollars and help the community out. So,
do you know Joan?
I do not.
I think you might.
That'd be a contact person. Okay. Now, Joan is the
hub of the wheel.
Yeah, the manager, for lack of a better word, the seniors
okay.
center in Marbleton.
Okay.
It's the hub of activity for the seniors, so she'd be the contact person.
Okay.
So if you could just call up and talk to her, sure. tell her what you're interested in doing. I know we briefly had that conversation. Like I said, I did share that email with her to
okay.
let her be aware. But she'd mm-hmm. be the one that could have the feelers out in the community as to who might be somebody in a position to take advantage of this offer.
Okay. That sounds like a good contact. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a thought, and I don't know how successful it was, but the Historical Society started a program they ran during the county fair this year where they had like a wagon track. Mm-hmm. Public could get on a wagon and ride a little piece of the land or cut off of the Oregon Trail. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many takers they had on that. It might be worth talking to some of the Historical Society, but my question that came up in my mind could there be some economic opportunity in that part of the county in regards to some of the historical trails and that sort of thing yeah. to put together something that would draw some people, draw some tourism? It might be worth taking a look at.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And Don Ballou would be a good contact for here to see how successful that was. She was part of that organized it.
Okay.
Because she was down there doing that when I was down there, and I talked to her a little bit.
And I did talk to Kay Mulkowski a little bit.
Kay was driving one of the wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually talked to her a little bit about what you're talking about, that side of the using the Lander Trail is for tourism, and she because she's done that in the past, and she had positive and negative things to say. It just would take the right person to make it go.
The first federal highway program?
Yes.
It was. The very first.
Yeah.
Although they failed, didn't they? And Lander, he did it himself. He self-funded to get it pushed all the way through.
Yeah.
First government boondoggle too, probably.
So we've got to get in line.
Like most federal projects.
Yeah, you got to get in line.
So anyway, that's where I am with that, and but I'm learning the job, so bear with me as I'm learning it, but I'm open to feedback and ideas and information, and so I think the county, there's a lot to sell as far as getting people, business side and visitors. So
have you had a chance to talk with either of the mayors down there?
I went to a board meeting. I haven't had a long conversation. We talked, and I did go back down and visited with Shannon. Is it Shannon the clerk?
Oh.
But he was not in there. He started a new oil well or something, and he's been.
Oh, you're talking about Jim Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not from lack of trying. It just schedules haven't matched up.
To, yeah.
We're kind of in the.
I would think they would be interested in trying to promote that and work with you there and come up with some ideas.
Yeah, they've been.
They should be.
Marbleton has been great. I have not had as much contact with Big Piney, and that's on the list.
Yeah.
It just July has been.
Sure.
Learning the job and then rendezvous and so hopefully as we kind of progress into fall, things will.
And can you give us a generalization of rendezvous? Was it bigger, smaller, flatline?
We haven't had a board meeting since rendezvous.
I've not seen numbers. Kind of the information that I had gotten from just vendors and people, you know, on the ground is that Friday was maybe a little slow, Thursday and Saturday was insane. It was crazy busy. And then Sunday, a lot of them stuck around and sold more stuff, and more people hung out in town Sunday than normal. Normally they kind of pack up and leave, and Sunday was pretty good. So adding that extra day, or part of a day, I think made a difference as far as, you know, their income. So I don't know what the total numbers were, but it did seem to kind of shift more towards the weekend.
I'd like to add a little to that as a member of the rodeo club board up there, that overall it was as good as it's been through the gate receipts, and that's all we can base it on is the number of people that go through the gate. So, and you're right about Saturday. Saturday was mind-blowing, quite frankly. Thursday was down a little bit. Friday kind of picked up some of that slack, and then Saturday, which it's always Saturday anyway. And I didn't know about Rendezvous the next day. I haven't talked, pardon me, haven't talked to Des Burnett. She would know, I would think, probably. If you've not met Des, you need to. She would be the person in charge, so to speak, there at Rendezvous. Or one of them, I'll put it that way. And she would have a feel for what Rendezvous was. I don't know. I didn't go. I was haying. That's a tough word to spit out right now.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No. No. Nice meeting you.
Yes. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Well, keep up.
Thanks for your time.
Glad to meet you, Derek.
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is approval of the mill levy, and we've all received copies of the calculated mill levies for our approval for the various entities. And are there any questions with regards to these?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the mill levy as presented.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the mill levies as we see presented here to us. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion regarding the designated mill levies? If not, all signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carrie. Now, I have a lot of these.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do we have a way within the assessors of the state of getting, if you take out the, like the mosquito districts and that sort of thing, that but the typical government districts, which would include health care, weed and pest, cemetery districts, do we have a way of comparing the total mills that are being taxed in Sublette County compared to the other counties in the state?
So I suspect there is a report like that. The state does put out a statewide average mill levy report, and that's what the treasurer uses for, I think, mobile machinery tax. They use that statewide average, and I can probably tell you what it was last year.
Well, I've always felt in talking to other commissioners that have, some of them have more than one hospital districts, I mean, things that tax like six mills, I've come to the conclusion, unverified, that we're probably one of the lowest, if not the lowest tax county in Wyoming.
We're definitely low.
And I would kind of like, if there's a way of verifying where we're at, I would be interested in that.
I can ask the state if they have statewide lists of that. Last year, the 2018 average mill levy
that was used for mobile machinery permits was 56.41. So we're a little higher than that. And I don't know, I know there are counties, like I know Campbell County has lots and lots and lots and lots of special districts that have really high levies within their districts that are actually levies. A lot of our special fees aren't levies. They're just fees that we add to the tax roll based on loss or percentages of value or something like that. But we're at about an average over a lot of years of about 60 mils. Ours just kind of barely fluctuate every year.
A lot of our special districts aren't taxing the maximum that could be taxed.
The special districts don't technically have a max under statute. It's an odd deal.
I mean, they tax whatever they want?
There was a court case that just was finished for Hoback Ranches that I believe it was Mr. Winnie was upset with the level of taxation that Hoback Ranches was assessing, even though it was a fee, not a mill levy. And I believe it came back just exactly as we thought, that they don't have a statutory maximum.
So can a cemetery district, for example, can they tax 12 mills if they wanted to?
No, a cemetery district does have a max. Let me get that for you.
And Wheaton Pest, for example, I thought they had
they
a max.
All, they all do have they maxes. Have,
yeah, there's statutory required. They can tax up to the 1 mil, Joel, but they have to have authorization from this board to go to the second.
That's what I thought. And they're not taxing that as much as they
so a
could.
Cemetery district could tax up to 3 mils. With and you see they're at point, I believe Big Piney Cemetery is 0.8 and Pinedale's is 0.13. So
yeah.
They're significantly under and what was the other type of district that you just
said? Wheaton Pest is another example.
Do you know the answer off the top of your head?
Well, I thought I said that I know they can tax up to 1 mil without authorization
right.
for the second mil from the commission.
Correct. Not to exceed 1 mil and not to exceed an additional 1 mil for special management programs.
Rural health care is taxing just 2 mils, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And they're not to exceed 4 mils. 2 mils are by the Board of Trustee action, and 2 more mils by voter approval.
Voter
approval.
Yeah.
So I guess the things I'm not necessarily interested in are these. Well, like Hoback Ranches, because the only people that are paying that are the people that are living there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the tax bill that everybody has to pay, which would be cemetery, school, Wheaton Pest, that sort of thing, and how we compare with other counties.
And I'll try to find that out for you.
Okay.
Like,
there's something that would provide that.
We have a tab here, but do I need to sign up for Hoback Ranches?
Mm-hmm. But, yes, that one. Sorry about that.
Okay. Irrigation districts, that's another one. The only people that pay it are the people that are in the district that use the water.
And in that packet that she gave you, the long page, mm-hmm. it's small, but we're talking about a lot of stuff. That shows you the total, for instance, under irrigation districts and on the blue line. We're collecting $185,000 for irrigation.
Carrie, all these resolutions, there's like three of them.
Just the one that says three.
Huh?
Just the one with three.
Okay.
And for special fees, which includes Hoback Ranches, all the mosquito districts, Redstone Evergreen, Boulder Lake Country Estates, the loans for High Meadow Ranch Water District, things like that, we're collecting about $313,000 for those. So that long page gives you the bulk of the information that you'd really ever want to see, and there are multiple years worth of these books that have it broken down by levying entity. It shows what the budget is, how do the levies calculate, all that stuff. So if you ever want to see any of that, by all means, come talk to me.
Look, like Joel asked, it would be interesting to see it, especially a county like say Bighorn County, that has maybe this close to the same population as we do. It's hard to tell because everything fluctuates so much because of people coming and going. but it would be nice to compare the tax structure. Is it cheaper? Because that's one of the things is I'm a taxpayer.
Right.
That's the first thing out of people's mouth that when they either want to have a discussion or have a complaint or whatever, I'm a taxpayer, you need to fix this.
So obviously the mill levy is one piece of that, but also the valuation is the other piece. So
yes,
depending on what the average home sale price is in those locations. So it would have to be mill levy and valuation to kind of really compare it. But
and this doesn't include anything to do with sales tax.
No.
So if we're trying to compare to Teton County,
right,
their mill levy is less, their property tax is less than 12 mills, but their sales tax is as high as it can be.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little more complicated. If you're in a business and deciding what county do I want to locate in, those are all things that would need kind of come into consideration.
I think it just costs to live in the garden beyond the Tetons.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Janice.
Thank you very much, Janice.
So we're going to take a short recess. We had at 10 o'clock our conversation with Sharon Rose on this County Board of Equalization process, and it's going to take Mike some time to get that set up. So we'll be in recess while he gets that done and should be ready to go close to 10 o'clock. And I guess my understanding is to do this, we need to reconvene as a County Board of Equalization.
To have this discussion.
To have this discussion, because we're meeting as that rather than a commissioner.
Right.
So prior to that phone call, we'll consider a motion for that. And then Mike will get us set up. And I guess Ms. Rose will lead us down the primrose path.
Tell us what to do.